Section 1. Influences. Module 2. Academic Context. Key Points. Mises's The Theory of Money and Credit was his habilitation thesis, prepared after his doctorate to permit him to teach at university level. The first members of the Austrian school had begun to explore marginal utility and the nature of money. Mises attempted to further refine their theory of money. Marginal utility offered a solution to paradoxes which classical economics could not solve. The work in its context. Ludwig von Mises's The Theory of Money and Credit expands Karl Menger's theory of value and prices by formulating a theory of money and banking, and then integrating it into Menger's framework. The work began as his postdoctoral thesis, which Mises wrote in order to be able to teach at a university. The term for this in German is Habilitationsschrift. Many continental countries, including France and Germany, also require similar habilitation dissertations after a doctorate, before someone is eligible to be a professor. After Mises completed the theory of money and credit, he began working as a Privatdozent, an unpaid private lecturer affiliated to the University of Vienna, before being made an associate professor in 1918. During this busy time for him, he gave seminars, pursued his early research on money and banking, and also headed the finance department for the Vienna Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Despite his junior standing in the university, his seminars, both in his private apartment and in his office at the Chamber of Commerce, were extremely well attended. They attracted such regular participants as Friedrich von Hayek, Oscar Morgenstern, who later at Princeton would be one of the founders of game theory, and Fritz Malklub, who later, and also as a Princeton professor, is credited with the concept of the information society. As well as attracting economists within the Austrian school, Mises's seminars drew many members of the Vienna Circle. This was a thriving group of philosophers, mathematicians, and natural and social scientists who gathered around the logical positivist Moritz Schlick. Ludwig's younger brother and mathematician Richard von Mises was a member of Schlick's inner circle. At the time he was writing The Theory of Money and Credit, Mises also was close friends with the economist and sociologist Max Weber, Mises's elder by 17 years. Their friendship flourished despite Weber's position within the historical school. And Mises contributed to the highly regarded Archiv für Sozialwissenschaften und Soziopolitik, the Archive for Social Sciences and Social Policy, which Weber edited. Mises admired Weber's work, as well as his commitment to methodological individualism, seeking to explain social phenomena by using the motivations and actions of individuals. Overview of the field. Marginal utility presents the value of a thing as subjective, the utility, or happiness or benefit, from consuming the 12th in a box of donuts will not be the same as that derived from the first in the box. This understanding of value is in sharp distinction to Marxist economists, who conceive value as deriving from the labor spent on its production. It also contrasts sharply with classical economists, like Adam Smith and John Law, who explained value strictly in terms of supply and demand, but then had difficulty explaining why diamonds have a higher price than water. This concept of marginal utility, that the value of a good derives from its marginal utility or demand and marginal cost or supply, was, at the time Ludwig von Mises wrote The Theory of Money and Credit, being explored simultaneously by at least three economic schools, located in Vienna, Lausanne, and Cambridge. There also was a smaller Swedish school, led by Knut Wicksell and Erik Lindahl, at the University of Lund. The work of Menger, Baum-Berwick, and Wieser all members of the first generation of the Austrian school, identifies the concept of marginal utility. The concept is then developed further by Mises and Hayek, who occasionally were referred to as the younger Austrians. Very similar work was being done, at roughly the same time, in Switzerland by the Lausanne School, and economists such as Leon Walras and Vilfredo Pareto, who both held the economics chair at the University of Lausanne. This also is true of an Anglo-American or Cambridge school, and William Stanley Jevons at University College London, and Keynes teacher Alfred Marshall at Cambridge. The work of the Lausanne and Cambridge schools was much more heavily mathematical, while the Austrian school preferred verbal argument. Ultimately, though, the mathematical approach would prevail in economics over the 20th century, and the Austrian school would prove more influential. This is, in part, because many of its members were displaced by the Second World War and took up places afterwards in U.S. universities, helping spread the school's ideas. Ultimately, the concept of marginal utility would prove the Austrian school's great contribution to the 20th century tradition of neoclassical economics. Neoclassical economics, in turn, after absorbing some elements from Keynesianism, has yielded mainstream economics now practiced in most university departments, finance ministries, and international finance institutions today. Academic influences. Ludwig von Mises took much from the Austrian school's founder, Karl Menger, in both his analysis of money and his methods of exploring marginal utility. Menger's theory of money, like Mises's, starts with an examination of the nature of money itself. And for both Menger and Mises, money is a commodity used in indirect exchanges and bought and sold primarily to effectuate them. Also, for both of them, money emerges spontaneously to remedy the problem of double coincidence of wants. To continue an analogy from earlier, if you wish to sell a telescope to someone who has a horse, but you do not yourself actually want a horse. This argument, that money does not come into being by an act of government or even without a prior social contract, has an 18th century legacy which goes back even before Adam Smith to the Scottish economist John Law. Menger's influence on Mises was chiefly indirect, through his writings and pupils, as he resigned his professorship at the University of Vienna in 1903. A second, more personal influence on Mises was his teacher, Eugen Böhm-Borwick, who had been a student of Menger's and served as Minister for Finance in four consecutive Austrian cabinets from 1895 to 1904. He then resigned to accept a post at the University of Vienna, where he taught until his death 10 years later. Böhm-Borwick's research during his time in Vienna culminated in his essay, Power or Economic Law?, which argued wages were determined by supply and demand, not by changing power relationships between management and workers. Government intervention, he said, could not rewrite these economic laws. It is an argument very much like those Mises would make throughout his own career. A third important influence on Mises was Friedrich von Wieser, who was Böhm-Borwick's brother-in-law. Wieser also was a founding member of the Vienna School and succeeded Menger in his post at the University of Vienna. Wieser's development of the concept of marginal utility, to which he gave its name, Granutzen, in its original German, was an official influence on Mises. Wieser strove to build on Menger's study of the historical evolution of money by adding in considerations of marginal utility. Mises built on this early attempt and fleshed it out into his complex framework in the theory of money and credit. End of Section 1, Module 2. Coming up next, Section 1. Influences. Module 3. The Problem.